the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. Continuing our series on what the church is for, in this recording, Dave looks into God's role in the church. The main reading is Ephesians chapter 2.
So last month or so we were looking at the church, what we are to be, what we are to do, our identity. We were looking at what we are. We looked last week about our identity in the church, and we again saw some amazing things of who we are. When the devil comes and says, well, this, and this, you can say, well, this is who we are in the Lord. Well, the Lord, we are called out ones, people separated for him, to him, to be used of him. And again, last week, we're a nation, our identity is heaven. That's our passport is stamped. This is not our home. We're the family of God. He's our Father. And we all share, if you like, that same spiritual DNA with the body of Christ, his representatives. The building where people can see and know. At a temple, we are the presence where the presence of God should be. Help us, Lord. And of course, we're his bride, which means we are his and we are to be pure and holy. And just to remind ourselves of the revelation of the church, we forget that. The spiritual implications of belonging and attending the house of God and the people of God, the condition of our heart, the connection to the house, the commitment to the house of God, so vital and so on. When we begin to see what the church is, when we said, Jacob said, didn't know where this place is, the gateway of heaven, this is the house of God. When we understand this is the place where destiny is settled, divine activity is happening, dependence on him and one another is seen, we begin to see the vitalness of understanding who we are in him and how we work it out in the house, in the church of God. This is what God longs to do in the house and with the house. And three B's, he builds. Of course, this is God's initiative. But remember that God's initiative demands, again, our cooperation, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Now, we are saved. He puts his life within us. But then he says, now work out that which he's put in us. You see, when it comes to gifting, God can give you a gift in a moment, can't he? It's not a problem with God. Now, when it comes to character, no. That takes cooperation with him. It takes a bit of working out, doesn't it? Oh, Lord, zap me with a bit of patience. Oh, thank you, Lord, yes. I am now patient. No, he brings someone across your path who will try your patience. And you are then have to say, Lord, I need you. I need you in this situation. Help me, Lord. Not to say things I shouldn't say. And again, as we said the other day, our tone, David, tone, Jackie, tone. And this is, so God builds. But again, as we'll see in a moment with these verses, we are, again, builders alongside him, haven't we? He blesses, hallelujah, he blesses you, and ultimately, he beautifies. Oh, I like that word. So let's look at that. God's work for the church, in the church. God builds his church. Matthew 16.
Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
I will build. That's his work. That's his destroy. This is he constructs. He designs on the. I suppose someone said on the drawing board of eternity. And you think, Lord, why did you do it this way? Why did Earth? You left it to us. Why are we your body? Why are you building? Why? Because he wants to take people who other people can see are broken and see God's work in them to change. See, that is always our greatest weapon, in a sense, or greatest attack against the enemy. And for people who say, whoa, what God do? Here's someone. Mm-hmm. Here's his background. This is what he was. But look what God has done in him or in her. And that's always, always a wonderful thing. God builds. God builds. Of course, again, people have misinterpreted that. Catholics, of course, especially building on Peter. That's not what it means. And again, again, of course, we have the same word for rock and stone. But if you look in the background, one is Petros. Peter, you are now called Peter, which is a stone, a boulder. But on this rock, different Petra, which is a boulder, which is much bigger, much stronger, a foundation stone. So when people say he built on Peter, that's not what he was saying. It was on his declaration of who Jesus is and who was. Because unless we build on him, we're in trouble, aren't we? The Bible calls Jesus the cornerstone. In the old days, the cornerstone was the first stone to be laid. It was set up, the angle and everything about the building was set from the cornerstone. And he's called the capstone, the stone that finishes everything off, the Alpha and the Omega. And Jesus said, now you build. How do you build? There's only one foundation, he said, Jesus. Make sure you build on him. And so Jesus builds, he builds the church. 1 Peter 2, 4 to 10, we read this last week. It's a great chapter.
A living stone and a chosen people. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become a capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood,
hallelujah,
a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Hey, wonderful, great. Who we are, again, who we are. God is the builder, architect, constructor, builder. We are the living stones to take our place in the building. And that's an interesting verse there. Stone the builders rejected become the capstone. You'll find it in Psalm. And when Jesus used that, and when the New Testament writers wrote that, they knew what they were saying, because in Judaism, in rabbinical exegesis, it was always, this verse was always accorded a messianic interpretation. And when Jesus said, I am the stone, they knew exactly what he was saying. It wasn't something that he quoted. They knew what he was saying. This is who I am. I am the stone. I am the builder as well. And to be the foundation. So he builds. He builds. But again, as we said, he instigates. He's the foundation. He's the one who enables. But again, our cooperation. The Bible talks about us building. Having our eyes to build. And our gifting to build. Here we are. Ephesians 4.
He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Isn't that edifying of itself? God builds, but we are, now he gives us gifts and ministries. So there we have the gifts of Jesus, the fivefold ministry. You go back to Romans 12, we have the gifts from Father, gifts of God, seven gifts. Then the Holy Spirit comes with the supernatural gifts. And we see it again, we read some verses there. All to do what? To build and to edify. And build, and of course, in that context, it was build unity, build maturity, build ability, I suppose, if you like, availability, and discernment. Because he said, look, I want you to be not like kids, tossed and forth. When we hear new something new, oh, that's interesting. Isn't it amazing how kids, although their attention, they look at something, but you can easily get their attention by ear, can't you? Henry's doing something, I'm easy attention. Cake, chocolate. hey, doesn't matter what he's doing, he's turned. Oh, where's that? Yeah, he said, no. Don't be easily tossed back and forth by lots of things going on. And of course, when we look at our world, we can easily be concerned about this and that. Don't be concerned. God's sovereign. He knows what he's doing. We know why we're here and we know where we're going. Now, our concern is for other people to be saved. Of course, that's a different thing. But that's not personal, is it? That's something we are looking to him to do. So equipping, building, edifying each other. And of course, the context again there is the ministry gifts, but also it says there, as everyone does their work, everyone does their part. So if you don't do your part, the body will not function as it should. So we're all involved, and when we say ministers, I don't like particularly like the word, when we're all ministers, because the word minister means servant, someone who serves. So we're all ministers. And thankfully today, there's no excuse today when we say, well, I haven't heard a evangelist or those. Well, thankfully, you can go to YouTube and find, careful what you look for, of course, but if you can put so-and-so's name in there, you can put Spurgeon's name in there, you can put Moody's name, you can put all these great people, and you'll get their sermons. So whatever you want, in a sense, there's no... So there's the negative side of the internet, but there's a positive, isn't it? That now you can, I'm going to search, we always search in books we used to use, didn't we? Books, kids, what are those? What's a library? Because everything's at the fingertips, isn't it? What about you? There's the ministry. What are the supernatural gifts, spiritual gifts? 1 Corinthians 14. I go 1 to 4, and I want verse 26 after as well, please.
Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, and encouragement and comfort. He speaks in a tongue, edifies himself, that he who prophesies edifies the church. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone should have a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a term or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church.
Yeah. So we have the very important, again, as we said, be filled with Spirit. If you've been filled and speak in tongues, exercise it. Don't let it die. Don't let it die, because the Bible says you edify yourself. Now, he's not saying that's negative. No, that's positive. Because as you edify yourself, your heart wants then to begin to edify the body. And that's prophetic word. We come with something. And again, there we say, see, in verse 26, everyone comes with something. But that's when we go back to preparing, understanding what church is. Church is not consumerism, as the world is it. No, it's partaking, isn't it? We come because we prepared our hearts, or we should have. we prepared so we come. Look at that scripture there. That's talking to me. And we give the scripture, give whatever the Lord has given us. So that's all to what? To edify. Edify. The prophetic word is to, of course, exhort, encourage, and edify, to build up. So that's our purpose. Not just that, but our priority. Listen to these verses from Romans 15.
We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbour for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to each of us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus Christ.
Bear with each other and make it your purpose to build one another up. Because, again, as we said before, it's not about you. And the wonderful thing, it seems silly because the world says, concentrate on yourself. Focus on yourself. No, the Bible says, you give, you serve, you make it your priority to build someone else up. And you know the blessing is? God builds you up. God lengthens and strengthens and grows. Why? Because he knows he can trust you. Because he's not about you, it's about you. Actually, they are more important than you. So he says, be careful. And they research so often, that which is a stumbling block to somebody, well, what do we do? Throw it aside. Why? Because it's not about you, it's about them. And they may be weak. So what do you say? Bear with the weak. Because again, it's not about me. It's about him and me, my purpose. Just the chapter before he says this. Pursue, obviously, follow after, concentrate on, peace and the edification, the building up of one another. Ephesians 4, we won't read this one, but be careful of our words, here's where we are. It said, come alongside each other, speak words that are good and beneficial and encouraging to build one another up. So it gives grace to the hearer. Oh, now, that's a challenge for some of us, isn't it? Because some of us are quite negative. And again, as we said before, what sometimes we say things are not untrue. They could be right. That's not the issue. But it's the way we say things sometimes, isn't it? My mum used to say to me, David, tone, always the tone. And sometimes things are better left unsaid, isn't they? Something's better left unsaid. Oh, well, I'm right. Well, you might be right, but it might not be the right time to say it, isn't it? So building one another up, speaking truth, speaking life. Of course, truth and grace. So there's God builds. Jesus is building his church, and he's using us to cooperate with him in every little way. Our ministry, our service. What can we do? Well, we can all pray, can't we? We can all encourage. We can all ring somebody. We can all, many things we can do. Even when we get old, we can still be praised. In fact, that's probably our ministry more than ever, is when we get old, because we can't run around, we can't get out and about as we could, but we can pray. And our ministry is intercession, which is, as Paul said, is part of the ministry, if not the most important part. So there's our first. God builds the church. But here we are. God blesses the church. Now, that word blessing, as we looked at before, is a real broad word, isn't it? A big word. It's ultimately, we have two words in the New Testament, long, large, lengthy, to the favour of God. The other one is to speak well of. Of course, we use it, the word praise, don't we? The Old Testament, well, again, multifarious, nice word for you, multifarious meanings, blessing and cursing, the parental blessing, blessing other people or showing respect and honour, blessing God, which means praise and thanks. Ultimately, in this context, God's favour, God's smile. It's a lovely word which we have from the Bible, which has come into our sayings these days, the apple of my eye. Yeah. See, that's from the Bible. You know, when we use it, we get lots of sayings actually from Bible that's in common saying. And David said, Psalm 17, Lord, I'm the apple of your eye. Keep me, keep me. And then the Lord speaking over Israel, Zechariah, he said, hey, they touch you. They're touching the apple of my eye, he said. Oh, that's a strong one, isn't it? Zechariah 2. And of course, because we're his children, we are the apple of his eye. We're his children. What about these verses from David? David understood these verses because he'd come through sin and repentance and confession. And Psalm 32, 1 and 2.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
There's our blessing, isn't it? Straight away. Because we are children, our sins are forgiven, we are clean, we're upright. Again, that's in whose spirit there's no deceit. See, when we are forgiven, that comes alongside. Although, be very careful there, because there's that sort of combination of what we call righteousness put in, imputed to my account. Bless the Lord. Couldn't earn it, didn't deserve, but he's put into my account. But then there's what we call righteousness imparted, and that's ongoing. That's something we open ourselves, we receive from the Lord. And that's a blessing. Our sins are forgiven, and he does not count our sin against us. Well, if you forget anything else tonight, bless the Lord. If that can't cause you to have a little jump, dance, if your knees can take it, of course, sins are forgiven. The blessing of God is upon those who sing. Look at these verses. Ephesians 1, 2 and 3.
Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ.
Well, that says, he's talking to the church. Blessed you with every all whole spiritual blessing. Now, again, take out your what you feel, what your circumstances, and that, because again, that's not always match up. That's what the Word of God says. We are being blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now, whether we avail ourselves of them, whether we put ourselves in the way of them, that's a different question. That's where we need to come and again put ourselves in the way of the blessing of God. But our position is we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. And I was saying I went to talk to someone this week, well, a couple of people, and just, Lord, we need your anointing. People need a touch from you. People need healing. People need a word from God, don't they? Oh, Lord, and who's going to bring it? You and me. Why? Because we are, again, our identity last week, we are the body of Christ. We are his, and we are his ambassadors to share. We have the blessing of God to bring the blessing of God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3, 8 to 9.
Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil for evil or insult with insult, or on the contrary, repay evil with blessings, because of this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing.
Lots of things going on there. We were blessed, we have been called to bless, and our inheritance is blessing. Of course it is. Bless the Lord. His favour and the presence of God. That's the blessing of God upon us. And that's what we are to share. Even as he just said, when difficulties, when people are not so good, when people, we think, oh, what a, and you think they've been in the church for years, some people, haven't they? And they're still tripping up in this particular area. Look, they've said, careful now, compassion. Speak the word of a bless. Bring the blessing of God into the situation, because you've been blessed. Don't call him blessed. The blessing of God is the first thing Jesus taught, isn't he? Not he preached, first thing he taught. Blessed is the man, blessed are the poor in spirit. And again, what did he do before he left? The Bible says, as he left, he blessed. Favour, presence, the anointing of God upon us. I love the verse, Proverbs 10, blessing of God makes rich. We of course, Old Testament, when he talks about the blessing, they talk about external, material things. New Testament, internal. God's always what he's doing in us. Whether he blesses us with riches, that's his department, his prerogative. But blessing God makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. Now, Solomon wrote that. And he said, well, is that, where did he get that from? He gets it from Jabez. Remember Jabez? Lord, bless me, enlarge my tents, and let not my name, which meant sorrow or pain, be, you know, come back on me. Let me be released from that. That's the verse you get. And the Bible says, Lord answered Jabez's prayer. So Solomon was writing his Proverbs, and he thought, Jabez, the blessing of God makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Jabez was the outworking of that prophetic or proverb. Of course, it came before. The blessing of God, well, beginning of Psalms starts with a blessing. Blesses a man who does not walk, stand, sit, counsel, in the scoffers, sit in the seat of scoffers. Blessed, he's blessed because he delights in the words and the way and the will of God. Hallelujah. Blessed is it. I was reading this one yesterday, reading this to Pat. Who can ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who can ascend to the hill of the Lord? Clean hands, pure heart, hasn't lifted up his soul to an idol or vanity, has be careful what he said, he's not made an oath and not defiled that, and he's walked with integrity. Listen to that, verse 5. He will receive a blessing from the Lord. Righteousness from the God of our salvation. This is the generation who seek the Lord. We are not seeking blessing. We are blessed, but in our working out of the gospel, in our working out, the blessing of God is upon us. Hallelujah. So he blesses. So whatever you think tonight, God is building. God is blessing. We are under the blessing of God. Now, if there are things in our life hindering the blessing of God, then say, Lord, that's why we break bread, isn't it? That's why we, as we come now in the next one, that's why we examine our hearts. Say, Lord, examine me. Search me, O God. There are things in my life. And of course, as we are growing, always things in our life, always work to be done, isn't it? Always. And when sometimes I think, oh, I've managed that, and then someone cuts me up or someone does something in the car, you know, and then you would say, what a driver that is. And I usually say, bet that's a woman. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Although, can I say, when it comes to a roundabout, don't they always stop? Instead of actually looking across the road, there's nothing coming, carry on. Forgive me. I digress. I digress. Bless them, Lord. What's that?
Ask for forgiveness, and then you would tell the story and
you'd have
to ask for forgiveness again.
Yeah. Example as well. That's right. Yeah. He blesses. But here's what God does in us. He beautifies us. The word, I love this word, beautify, means to sanctify, doesn't he? I came across this quote many, many years ago. I like it. God is concerned more about our ultimate holiness than our current happiness. Always remember that. That's his goal. It's not your happiness, it's your holiness, isn't it? God is it. And that's why everything, when we go through difficulties, as we always will, and things will crop up. Again, that, as I said before, be a student, not a victim. Be a student, not a victim. Because even if we go through much difficulty, and we have difficulty all our lives, which we haven't, have we? Let's be honest. We've had a good life. And we've had difficulties along the way. But if we had 80 years of problems and all difficulty, what did Paul say? They are momentary compared to eternity. And when we get to eternity, we think, we will say, sorry Lord, I mourned so much in that situation. I mourned a bit there, but when you were trying to do a work. This is God's work to beautify us. Here's the our first verse, we read this last week, Ephesians 5, 25-27.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Again, that's what he's working out. As we said last week, a glorious bride. No spot, no stain, no defect, no wrinkles. Bless the Lord. You see, externally, that's not going to happen, is it? Because we've gone way past that. Internally, the church of God, without blemish, with blameless, faultless, pure, holy. Oh, that's his work in us. Hallelujah. To really change our hearts. Holiness is God's purpose in our life. It's God's will for us. God's will for us. It's God's command over us. It's his promise. If we'll put ourselves in his way, he will make us holy. He will sanctify. He will separate us from that which is wrong, evil, to him. Separate anything that is not of God to him. And he does that. Here we have, again, another metaphor from who we are in the church. John 15, 1 to 4.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me.
Again, there's that cooperation. Stay in the Lord, dependent upon him, pliable, reliant upon him. But then he will work his purposes out. He will remove things in our life that shouldn't be there. But even those fruitful places, hallelujah, he prunes. And that's painful sometimes. Lord, why are you cutting that back? That's doing really well. That's going well. That's flourishing. And the Lord says, I want to make it more fruitful. And the word prune means to clean. That's the word mean. He cleanses us. So he takes that, and he cuts it back, doesn't he? He cuts back to clean us and to make us more fruitful, more fertile, more powerful, I suppose, in a sense, in our testimony for him. That's God's work. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 24.
Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.
Amen. God of all peace, sanctify you perfectly, wholly, entirely. Let him have his way. Make you whole. Thankfully, again, he doesn't just say our soul here. He brings the body in. The body, soul, spirit. And again, when people say, well, I can do this. No. Remember, we talked about last week, didn't we? If you ask permission for do it, you know, and people talk about when men are piercings, get a grip and then get a grip. But if you ask the Lord, get tattoos, well, we have a verse in the Old Testament, but ultimately, it's not your body to defile. This is not your, it's the Lord's, isn't it? And he wants to sanctify every part. So, you know, it didn't just our soul. That's Greek thinking. No. We are the temple of the Spirit. Our body is fading, but we keep look after it. And we present it to the Lord. Why? Because it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Again, 1 Corinthians 6, we didn't want to go into what was going on in the Corinthian church. It wasn't very good. But he said, be careful now. He said, because your body, you'll have consequences if you sin with it physically, sexually. The consequences will happen because that's how God has created it. And he said, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. He had to sanctify every part of our lives. So, yeah, let the Lord have his way in every part. Look after ourselves. Look after every area of our lives. Of course, physically, our mental health, what we listen to, what we read, what we allow into the eye gate and the ear gate. Very, very important, because the devil is very, very manipulative, isn't he? He's easily distracts us, easily diverts us, and we think, oh, I've got to do that, and then we start watching something, oh, I've got to watch that, and we get gripped by that. And when you think, I just sit back and think, what are you doing, Dave? It's a jolly program, or it's a thing. It's irrelevant. In eternity, that will mean nothing. Yet, we can easily get sucked in. But that's why the Bible says, let him have his way. Of course, his word, when we allow his word to have his way, it washes us, it sanctifies us, it challenges us, doesn't it, in every area. Hebrews 12, 4 to 13.
You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, struggling against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as the sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. But what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who correct us, and we pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he is for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed.
Again, sometimes when we just dig a little bit further down, we see sometimes the sharpness of God's word, isn't it? It was, of course, full of grace. I know these people are complaining, aren't they? And rightly so, they were being oppressed and persecuted. But the writer to the Hebrews says, hey, get a grip. You haven't shed any blood yet. Which is quite a saying. He said, stop being so weary. You haven't shed any blood. And then he goes into the very fact that God loves us too much to leave us as we are. He does discipline. And he uses many different ways. He uses, as we do, when we were parents, we used many different ways of discipline, didn't we? Of course, you can't send to their room anymore. When I was sent to my room, that was nothing in my room, was it? Books. I hated reading anyway. You can't send them to their room anymore. Well, there's nothing. They got their blinging Xbox and everything. And, oh, you can send them to the room, yeah. But that's where they want to be, isn't it? That's where they want to be now. They got everything in their room. And take it out first then if you want to send them to the room. Yeah, you got to. Proverbs, of course, is full of good fathers, good mothers, a spare rod hates his son, who loves them, are careful to discipline them on the path of life that heeds, on the path of life, there's a person who heeds chastisement on the path of he who goes astray, doesn't take instruction, doesn't take discipline. Of course, he uses three words, Eddie: chastening, rebuking, scourging. As we said before, God is not averse to using a 4x2, is he? What does that mean? 4x2 is a bit of stick that sometimes we need. Some of us only got to be told, haven't we? Yes. Some of us have just got to be prompted. Some of us are like that wall, and we need a good, get our attention. And God is a good father. He knows what to do, when to do it, and he will not be, if we are representing him, he doesn't want us to bring a bad reputation. Doesn't want us to be running around like illegitimate boys and girls, is he? Because he's a good father. His business is to make us like him. That's his heart, that's his desire. And when Jesus was here, that was his prayer. John 17.
I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by truth.
Sanctify them, Lord. Make them holy mine. Make them absolutely mine. Of course, the key way is the word, because we know what God thinks, what God wants, and when we do that, when we apply it, because sometimes we know what God thinks and what God wants, but actually applying it sometimes very difficult, because it goes against the grain, always. Of course, it goes against what the world is saying, what the world is thinking, and sometimes what our own flesh wants. So thankfully tonight, we are part of the body of Christ, a place where God is working. God is we're a place of destiny, isn't it? The church is a place, isn't it, where people can come in and hear the word of God, meet the people of God, and we can speak into their lives and speak over their lives. Hallelujah. And that's our goal. Bless the Lord. He builds, he blesses, and he beautifies. And we are here to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Take hold of this life. Whatever you've asked me to do, whatever you call me to do, Lord, I put myself in the way of that. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.